I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. So, you think you know Queen Latifah? Well, maybe you don't.
No one to see. I'm free as the breeze.
That is from her new CD, Traveling Light, which is being released next week. Queen Latifah, Dana Owens, joins us now from our New York bureau. Hello, my queen.
When you put it like that, I mean, when you put it that way. Hey, Michelle.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm great.
Well, now, most people think of you as a rapper turned singer, but in fact, you're a singer turned rapper. Is that not correct? Didn't you sing in high school?
Yep. Singer turned rapper turned singer.
And maybe most people didn't used to know that you could sing, but they certainly know you can sing since you starred in the film version of Chicago. Mm-hmm. Was that part of the reason you were attracted to that, was a chance to get back to the singing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anytime I got a chance to do a movie that really had some meat to it, and I was able to flex those kind of muscles to be able to sing or sing, dance, and act, it's an opportunity to you know, really share your gifts and show what you have. And you don't get to do that too often.
But that sounds like just a grueling schedule, and you've got to get the dancing down, and you've got to really push it out. And you've got a very strong stage presence, but you don't have the heaviest voice. And I wonder, when you take on a project like that, are there additional things you have to do to get ready to put yourself in that place?
Well, one thing you have to do, I mean, when you do a musicals, it's completely different than recording, you know, a singing album like the Dana Owens album or like Traveling Light or a rap album. I actually like rehearsing. And when you do a musical like that, you're usually doing about 2 weeks of dancing, 2 weeks of singing, 2 weeks of acting, you know, 6 week rehearsals all together. And it just kind of tunes you up. You know, you feel sharp, like you're ready to go.
There's a line from your one of your main signature songs in that film that I have adopted as my own. I'm going to play a little bit.
Got a little motto, always sees me through. When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I suspect I'm not the only person who's adopted that as a...
You know, I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
Definitely not the only woman. Maybe a few guys, too.
It could be.
It's funny. I wind up strangely singing that song at a piano bar on Mykonos a few weeks ago. It just happened to be a piano bar, and they were singing songs from Hairspray in Chicago, and my friends all pushed me up there and made me, like, sing this song. Of course, I've been sipping a little bit.
I was going to say, was there perhaps a beverage involved or two?
Yeah, or four. And but it was a lot of fun, and everybody in the whole place, you know, knew that song. They just loved that part.
So what's the one conclusion? I could bring this number two. When you're good to mama.
Mentioned the Dana Owens album, and I think we should say that Traveling Light is not your first foray into jazz and soul. You got some very nice reviews for your covers, like your take on Al Green's Simply Beautiful. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering why you decided to title that album using your given name, Dana Owens, and then to go back to Queen Latifah for this album. Are you feeling different things when you work under each name?
You know, for me, it's always been Queen Latifah, but that one I call the Dana Owens album because I wanted people to know that this was in me from the beginning, and this was in me for a long time before you got to know me as the rapper, before you got to know me as the actor. I watched musicals on TV growing up, and you know, I love singing these kinds of songs, and I loved some of the lyric styling that was done, you know, back in the 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. So I touched upon it, but the singer was already in there, just needed a chance to, you know, get back to the roots, so to speak.
What about the way you love me?
What about the way you love me?
Ooh, and what about the way you squeeze me?
What about the way you squeeze me?
Oh, it's simply beautiful. Yeah,
beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah.
When you do a project like Traveling Light, are you doing it for yourself because that's something you want to experience, or are you talking to someone in particular?
No, I'm definitely doing it for, I'm doing it, of course, for myself because I enjoy doing it. But it's definitely something I want to share and that I want people to receive and enjoy. It's not, you know, I don't just do music just to keep it all to myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I want people to, you know, hear it and hopefully enjoy it.
I'm traveling light. Because my man has gone.
You know, there's this melancholiness about it. It's kind of sad, but it's not, it's sort of happy in a way. It's, you know, she's feeling the breeze and, you know, she's feeling her freedom at the same time as she's feeling the loss of a lover.
He said goodbye. And took my heart away.
To me, those kind of songs are quite reflective of life, and too often we just hear the downtrodden sides of it all. I didn't quite realize how, you know, when you look at the whole composition of the album, that it would just pretty much all become like that. But it just started to feel like the things I was gravitating towards were really kind of mellow songs. So rather than, you know, pump up the second half with a bunch of sort of hyper songs to bring a different energy, I decided to just go with what was feeling good, because what we were recording was sounding really good. Mm-hmm. Georgia Rose just sounded beautiful.
And you got Stevie Wonder?
Yeah, and I was able to get Stevie Wonder on that track, which just sealed the deal for me.
Let's hear a little bit of Georgia Rose.
Yeah, let's do that. That's my favorite song on the album, actually.
Georgia Rose, Georgia Rose, you're the most precious rose Dixie grows. Though it don't seem quite right, 'cause your skin's dark as night.
Yeah, that song is deep right there. Mm.
How does that work? Is it you're just a big cheese Oscar nominee? You call up Stevie Wonder and say, hey, could you bring your harmonica? You got some great collaborations, not just the only one. You got Christian McBride, Joe Sample, George mm-hmm. Duke. How did that happen?
Well, I got some awesome producers, first of all, and they assembled a crack team of superstar musicians for me. But, you know, the Stevie Wonder idea, we were all in the studio recording the song, and Tommy LaPuma, who produced it, was there. I thought to Tommy, the original has a saxophone solo on it, and I said, you know, it'd be kind of cool if we put a harmonica solo on that track instead of a sax. And he was like, yeah, that could be a really cool idea, you know, which was good for me because I got his approval on the idea itself. And I thought it'd be great if we could get Stevie Wonder to do it. And he thought, yeah, that would really be hot. My A&R jumped on it, but then I ran into him in a restaurant 2 days later in California, and I dropped a bug in his ear about, you know, that they'd be reaching out for him, and he had told me about a song that he might like me to do, one of his songs, and I'm like, cool, it's all good, you know what I mean? And he was there within a week, and he was leaving for a month-long tour the next day, so I really, really scored getting him in the studio. My fortune could not be better. God was shining on me.
Georgia Rose,
Georgia Road.
As a rapper, part of your message was, don't put me down. I'm not here to be the object of, you know, profanity. I'm not here to be just a sex object. I have my own agenda. You know, notice me too. I'm standing on my own ground. And I was just intrigued when you switched to a different genre, whether that was something you wanted to be sure to carry forward, or was that just what you were drawn to?
You know, as a rapper, I was definitely trying to make a statement, you know, with my image, you know, with my words, with my ideas about things. And because I felt like, first of all, there were already like male bashing female rappers out there, and I didn't need to become the next male bashing female rapper. But I definitely needed to make a statement about how I wanted to be perceived, and also to kind of empower my sisters. That's how I felt. I mean, I can't tell you to not do this and that if my house is not even clean. So in my mind, my house was being a female and looking at what females, you know, what our choices were and how, you know, we needed to work on our self-esteem. And that's why I made songs like Ladies First.
You said that the ladies couldn't make it. You must be blind. If you don't believe what here, listen to this rhyme. Ladies First, there's no time to rehearse. I'm divine and my mind expands throughout the universe. A female rapper with a message to send. The Queen Latifah is a perfect specimen.
My sister, can I get some?
Sure, Moni Love, grab the mic and get dumb. Yo.
When I kind of crossed over into this, you know, I'm a grown woman now. I was a young lady back then. I started rapping when I was 17, 18, and I've been around the block a few times. I realized that things aren't as simple as they seem. I still want to be judged for my intelligence and then all my, you know, everything else that comes along with it. I still want to be looked at as smart and beautiful, not just, you know, a pretty face and you know, a body.
And a body.
But definitely for my intelligence. But I think I've kind of earned that at this point.
Traveling Light is a very, I don't know what word I would use, soothing listening experience. Can I tell you, there's one song I cannot get out of my head.
Let me guess.
Go ahead, guess.
Could it be Live Until I Die?
No. I'm going to play it for you.
Poetry, man.
'Cause your eyes, they light the night. They look right through me. La, 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 la. You bashful boy. You're hiding something sweet. Please give it to me, yeah. Oh, talk to me some more. You don't have to go. You're the poetry man. You make things all right. Yeah, yeah.
I can't get it out of my head.
Yay!
How do you feel about it? Why did you pick this one?
You know, I always loved that song. My mother played that song so much in my house growing up. That song just reminds me of Saturday mornings, cleaning up, getting laundry ready, making my bed, incense burning, house smelling fresh, sunshine through the window. You know, it's just, that was my mom's vibe. And so I can't remember exactly how the idea came up to do it, but I said, I got to ask my mom about this song, because I'm like, this is my mama's song. I can't just mess with this song now.
And so, you know, but Phoebe Snow's version is so well known too. Mm-hmm. I just wonder what that's like when you're covering a song where the bar has already been set so high, particularly by the writer. I mean,
right.
How is that?
Well, first of all, I don't try to do what they did. I kind of just stay in my lane. I think it's very important to do what you do well, not to, and that's with anything I do. I try to do what Locke can do, what Dana can do, not what Phoebe does, because she made it perfect. The song is perfect as it is. I just happen to love the song, so I only recorded it because I really love it. And it's kind of an ode to my mom, a little dedication, and I kind of have that happening on each album now. The last album, it was Hello Stranger and Hard Times. Those were her songs on that album.
Do you have any more to say in rap? Do you think there's another rap album in you?
Oh, man, I got plenty of stuff to say. I mean, I still have a bunch of records that I recorded through the years since that last album came out. I guess I might have thought that someone else would have came along and took the reins. And you know, not that I was looking for someone to take my place, but I surely expected that, you know, when Lauren came out, that there would be other people who came out and kind of said something. I don't think anybody has really said a whole lot consistently about a lot of substantial stuff. I mean, it's not like every one of my records was some, you know, message record. There was a lot of bragging and boasting in there. But at the same time, there was a lot of social consciousness and just positivity and wrapped in the guise of a hot record. I'm not saying don't make hardcore records, but let's get a balance. Let's support, you know, artists who are really challenging themselves musically and blending the genres and, you know, doing different things. That's the only way you really expand the music and let kids who are in love with hip hop know that it's okay to try something new. How else you think you're going to get a Lauryn Hill?
All right.
If she didn't take a chance on the music and do it differently, if the Fugees didn't do it differently, you never would have had it.
So do you see another rap album coming from you?
I mean, it could. I would never, you know, with me, you got to expect the unexpected. There's no telling what I'm going to do. You know, you just got to be ready for whatever this girl is going to come up with next. Because, you know, I'm always, I'm always cooking with gas. There's always something in there.
Dana Owens, Queen Latifah, joined us from our New York bureau. Her new album is Traveling Light. It'll be available next week. My queen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle.
To hear more of what you've heard from Queen Latifah's new CD, Traveling Light, you can visit us online at npr.org/tellmemore. And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.
Till I die, the blues I'll lay low, I'll make them stay low, they'll never trail over my head. I'll be a devil till I'm in it.